You who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, I greet you in his name this morning. First psalm this morning is Psalm 122, the B selection. Please join me there. Psalm 122 has an emphasis on peace in our midst. Peace can be confusing. Peace is elusive. As we would try to pursue it, we might try to pursue it in different ways. Sometimes we think it's just shutting our mouths and being quiet. We are told that Jesus himself is our peace, so there is some security there. As we look through, we see the statement in verse 5, in the midst of the church, there were set the thrones of judgment. We remember when we just talked about, blessed are the peacemakers, you will be called children of your Father who's in heaven. We look specifically at how our Father accomplishes peace. It's either through grace or justice. So it makes sense that we see in verse 5, their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And then it continues on, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls, and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of our Lord, our God, and it's been brought up recently, sometimes we need to look at the ways that we pray for people or say that we'll pray for people. Are we the means of even answering their prayer? So to what degree are we available to make peace in our midst? What burden does this place on us, or what calling is there in our lives for this? In Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Is there an element for you to be contributing peace to the congregation and to the church? Walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And here, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So peace in our midst comes first and foremost from Christ. We've been reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ. But then as we are walking in the footsteps of Christ, we are to be in that place where we're preserving the bond of unity. So in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We consider that's what Christ has done. Christ rightly sings this. I will seek your good. He lives to make intercession for us, seeking our good. And we are to walk in the footsteps of Christ, seeking one another's good. Let's stand and sing together Psalm 122b.
I was led here and saying to the Lord's house, let us go, for our feet will soon be standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Salem, well-constructed city, there assemble all the tribes.
Our Father, we thank you for Christ, whoever seeks our good. We thank you for the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of Christ, for your glory, and to seek one another's good. We thank you for calling us together as your sons and daughters, that we stand as members of your house. We stand within your very courts, that you meet with us, and we are not consumed, but we are loved. So, Father, please bless us this morning. Please reassure us with your word that in Christ you look on us and smile. In Christ you look on us and you beam. So bless us this morning as we draw close to you, as we give you your worship. Dwell in our midst and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading now is Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, the address is given to the angels of the churches. Angel means messenger. I am under the impression that we're not talking about what we would consider a spiritual angelic being that hovered or hung out with each of the churches, but we're talking about the pastors, the elders of the churches that were the messengers that spoke the word of God to the congregations. In Revelation 2, we see Jesus, or hear Jesus, and see Jesus, speaking to each of the churches, and he's doing this thing where you give a compliment, and you say, these are the things that you're doing well. And then he brings specific criticism and instruction, and then he goes back to the compliment. It's very gracious of the king to speak to us in this way. We look here, though, and we see the threat or the warning that's being granted. He warns them that if they don't turn from their sin, he says, you're a lamp that I'm going to put out. You will be removed. As you look at each of these churches, all of them, to my understanding, had been removed, were removed, except for the church in Colossae. The Colossian church, there's still a church there. I met a man who was a preacher in the church of Colossae. So we see these warnings and good instruction. We come specifically because of the first seven verses. It's told that they hate the ways of these false teachers. As will be in 2 Timothy, there's the warning against the false teachers and the description of the false teachers, what they're like, and we are to stand firm against them. So I'll read the first seven verses of Revelation 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Our next psalm, Psalm 119b. Psalm 119, we see the description that we're given of the way that we are to live, the way that we are to walk. We see that the scripture speaks to us about how we put our feet down, how we move along in the footsteps of love for God, the footsteps of love for one another. We see the place that the scripture is to have in our lives, that we are walking according to it, and we are also to be treasuring it within our hearts. There are times where I have a stupid thought that comes into my head. The stupid thought that I have that comes into my head is, did I make enough money today? It doesn't make any sense for me now to think that. It comes from the days when I had my own business and I had to travel around looking for work every single day. And I always wondered, did I make enough money today? It was the meditation of my heart, and it still bubbles to the surface, even though it doesn't make any sense. We are to be at the place where we are treasuring the word in our heart, that it is always present, that it will bubble to the surface in the ways that it does make sense. Verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart, and we see what it accomplishes, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, we acknowledge him in his name. Teach me your statutes. We see that we are in the place of testifying about Christ and his will and his word. In verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. We make a pledge. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Let's sing God's word to him. With Psalm 119b, let's stand.
How shall I
join your hearts to mine in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your loving kindness and your truth. We thank you for speaking to us. We rejoice in you for having preserved your word, for having brought it to us, for giving us hearts to believe what you have said. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace in which we live. We pray that your grace will teach us to love others, that we will love in the ways that we have been loved, that we will extend grace to each other, that we will extend good favor towards one another, that we will be able to see all the people of the world and see that they have been made in your image, and that we will love them as your image. May we stand for your love. May we stand for your grace shown in Christ. May we also stand for your truth and your righteousness as you have announced with all authority what is life and what is death. May we ourselves love these pathways of life. May we love the truth. May we be putting off the old man and putting on the likeness of Christ. Show us the ways to love you and to follow you. Show us the ways to keep your decrees in accordance with affection, in accordance with hope, as we love you and as we trust you. Show us the ways to relate to one another and to love one another in all purity. Show us the ways to hold on to those bonds of peace as you have described in the book of Ephesians. Help us to have your patience. Help us to have your grace. And we pray that you will be glorified as we do. We praise you and we thank you for having heard our prayers. We thank you that Catherine has gained weight. We thank you for the healing that many of us have been enjoying, that we are getting stronger again. We pray for those who are homesick today, and we ask for your care for Nate and Emery. We lift all of those that you have given us as church members to you and pray that you will bless and that you will heal and that you will encourage. We give you thanks that Elliot's boards are going through and that he has the opportunity to take his boards. Please bless him in his studies and give him good recall. Bless our brother, and may he have every opportunity to provide for himself and to provide for Chloe and to provide for a family, that you would be glorified. We lift up Leslie's dad to you. Please care for Jim as he awaits the results of his biopsy. We pray that you would bless Jim with encouragement and strength and hope. We pray for the Choices Pregnancy Center, that the unborn, your people created in your image, would be saved, and that you would be glorified in mercy and in life and in people who are calling on you. We pray for those in the Emmanuel congregation, and we ask that you would touch them, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that you would be glorified in faith and life and repentance. We pray for all those who are recovering from abuse, that you would touch their hearts and that you would help them to heal, that you would bless them in their minds, in their hearts, and in their bodies, that you would be glorified. Please bless the members of your church, that they would know how to love and to care and to support, that you would be being glorified as people are well cared for and loved and protected. Please help us as we look to see Christ as King, that we would know what that means in our hearts and that what that means in our lives, what that means in our families and in our communities. We pray for those who are in mourning. We lift the Flinners and the Browns to you, the Blockies and the family from Pittsburgh that lost two children in a house fire. Father, the curse on this world is real, the curse because of sin. And help us to grieve with those who grieve and to rejoice with those who rejoice. We pray for those of us who are still missing our loved ones. We pray for the Wilsons as they miss Dawn. We pray for Jerry as she misses her husband. Father, for all of us who are in that state of grieving, in that state of loss, please fill our hearts. Please give us precisely what we need to love you and to rejoice in you and to look forward to a glorious resurrection. Be with the Flinners also, Lord, as they're missing their great-grandma. We pray for Rich Torelli as he asks for wisdom to know how to pray. We pray for Heidi's friend Mason, who still isn't calling on you, and we pray for him along with our family members who are rejecting you and our neighbors. And we ask that you would bless and that you would bring people to salvation and that you would add to your worship. And please show us the best ways to love each other, Lord, the best ways to stand in unity, the best ways to support each other, that you will be being glorified in our lives. We love you and we thank you for the good plans that you have for us. And we thank you again for your word and the instruction there. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 119, the M selection. In Psalm 119, we look at God's law and we don't see it as something that's a burden and something that's sad. But we say, oh, how I love your law. Imagine navigating through mountains where you actually have the opportunity to be lost and the opportunity to perish in the mountains. You would take your map and you might think, oh, how I love my map. It shows me how to move along and how to be where there's life, to get back to where there's warmth, to get back to where there's food. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We see that the commandments put us in the place where it is making us wise, where it is giving us insight. We know the importance of wisdom and insight. It keeps us from stumbling. It keeps us from sin. It keeps us from injury for ourselves. It helps rescue our family members and our church members from injury as well. How I love your law. How I love your wisdom. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, Christ can say. We can look and see where we have overcome temptations as well. We do it for the purpose, we see in verse 101, that we may keep his word. We see the blessing of Christ, who did not turn away from the ordinances, but kept them and rejoices as they have been given to him. We see in verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter, yes, than honey to my mouth, because your precepts give me understanding. Therefore, and this will be a struggle for us, to hate every false way. I've said I've hated different things, and a friend of mine says, hate is a strong word. As I interpret the word hate, I take it to mean to be the enemy of, to be the active enemy of. A sibling can't hate another sibling. You can't be the active enemy of your sibling. We can't be active enemies to seek to destroy one another. But it is right to hate every false way. First in our own hearts, and then in the lives of those around us as we would truly love them. Love must be sincere. Hating what is evil. Clinging to what is good. Let's stand and sing Psalm 119b. Comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first verse brings in a phrase that can set some people's hair on edge. It can excite some people. It can terrify others. The first verse holds the phrase, The last days. Some people hear that term, the last days, and their mind goes to all sorts of, and I attempted that air quote, Christian fiction movies and things, post-apocalyptic films, these last days. Well, the last days are simply in relation to the first days. The first days are everything before Christ in the older covenant. The last days are everything after Christ in the newer covenant. These are the last days. I was excited even reading through the law, and Moses at one point says, in the last days we see these pictures. Now, nevertheless, we can have this expectation as we look at the last days. There's this building of tension that takes place between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Different end times views. Some say this tension builds as Satan gets stronger and stronger. Others dispute that, and they'll say, no, no, the tension builds because the church is advancing, getting stronger and stronger. You'll have these tensions. As you and I consider this, it's very difficult for us to come down to a solid place on that. In our own lives, in the United States of America, we're probably tempted to think of the world in just the context of the United States. And we can look at the tension that's building in the United States and say, whoop, last days, it's the end times because of these battles happening in Congress. Well, we can also say the United States can rise and fall anywhere in the full scope of the last times. And it really doesn't impact whether or not Jesus is right now about to come back. And yet we see, you and I, we live in what's being called here the last days. You and I are being given specific instruction how we respond now in these last days. And we can actively be applying this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you, follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Pray with me. Father, we lift our lives to you. We lift our hearts to you. And we pray for you to give us direction, wisdom, and instruction, that you would be glorified in the ways that we love you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at these terrible things that are coming, and they are certainly coming. We look at these terrible things that are, and they certainly are. The question for us, and we look for the wisdom that comes from above, to see how we are specifically to respond. A part of what we are doing is we are being taught and we are teaching one another. We're preparing the next generation to face the persecution that is to come. Paul had faced his own persecution, but he's warning Timothy of these things, that these things are coming for you as well. He's warning them about the false teachers that will certainly manifest. And the question is, how do you respond then to these false teachers when they do manifest? We see them that they will be in the church and they are also in the world. They stand opposed to the truth. They stand opposed to grace. They stand opposed to godly living. We could move through this passage and we could take every negative example that is given here and I could make a step out of it. And I could say, don't be this, and don't be this, and don't be this. And I could spend the next 6 weeks telling you all of these things that we are specifically not to be. But as Paul speaks, he tells us and he says, but as for you, but as for you, there are these negative things that are, but there are these specific things that we are specifically to be and to do. There isn't so much that we have to worry about not doing when we are doing what we are called specifically to do. So the call for you this morning is now you advance and be taught. In our circles, it's easy to come to a place where we feel as if we've really arrived at a good place. We have the Westminster Confession, after all. We have our larger and our shorter catechism. We have the testimony. We can say, all right, I'm better than this church. I'm better than that church. We could look within our own denomination and look at our practices that we're particularly proud of and say, well, at least we don't do this. At least we don't do that. Imagining that we have arrived. How foolish we are if we think we don't have to learn. If we think we no longer need to be taught, we have not arrived. We are so far from being like Christ that we have the rest of our lives to study and to train and learn. And we still won't be there, even if we reach our 120 years. So we are to look and to see how we are to respond and what we are to do. How we are to learn and how we are to grow. How we are to be taught. Our first step gives us a motivation in studying and learning. Our first step is realize difficult times will come. Verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, what does that mean? Difficult times will come. I think of the most difficult times in my recent life. One of the most frustrating moments in my recent life. I was asked to go pick Elia up someplace. And when I went to get her, I didn't actually even know what time I was supposed to pick her up. I showed up and I just followed our little app that takes us to where she's supposed to be, and I showed up at a house and I didn't even know if I was at the right house. So I'm at a house and I don't know if it's the right house. I'm there at a time and I'm not sure it's at the right time. I'm calling around trying to get instruction and I can't get any instruction, and I was seething with anger and frustration. Oh, these difficult times that have come. Consider when you've seethed recently at the difficult times that have come. The picture is given of what we will have to endure, what we will have to deal with as we have our interactions with the people around us. Verses 2 through 5 is a description of the sources of the difficult times. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Then the instruction, avoid such men as these. We can go through this list. The terrifying thing is, you could make your own little checklist here and look at your own heart and say, okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much do I struggle with being a lover of myself? How much do I struggle with being a lover of money? How much do I struggle with being boastful? To what degree am I arrogant? To what degree am I a reviler? To what degree am I disobedient to parents? To what degree am I ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable? To what degree am I a gossip? To what degree am I without self-control? To what degree am I brutal? To what degree am I a hater of good? And it goes on and on and on and on. And we have that terrible struggle, understanding the worst sinner that we will ever wrestle with is in our own skin. Then flowing from there, if I'm like that and you're like that, what does a struggle look like within the church as well? That we will, in an ongoing way, have this tension and we will have this struggle. For those of you who have not had the abrasions and the piercings of your heart within the church yet, you will. You will. Paul speaks to Timothy and says, realize this. This is coming. How often or when have you ever seen somebody that quits just because something is hard? Something is difficult. We say, why? Why is it so hard? Every race I've ever been in, it doesn't matter if it's 3 miles or something much more obnoxious, in the last third you think, this isn't worth it. I should just quit. What difference does it make? This is hard. I warn each of you, church is going to be hard. Marriage is going to be hard. Every area of life is going to be hard. Realize this. Difficult times will come. Paul and Jesus even say, I'm telling you about this so that you will know and you will remember that I told you ahead of time it's going to be like this. Verses 10 through 11. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. This frustrates me so much as I look at this. Paul says, out of them all, The Lord rescued me. Take for a moment and consider someone that you know that's been in a terrible accident, or someone who has been badly beaten at some point in their lives. There used to be this young man that walked around, and one day when he was walking downtown, someone came out and challenged him and hit him upside the head with a crowbar. And for the rest of his life, as far as I know, he was strange. He dressed strange. He acted strange. Consider Paul at this point, or my father, who was a very strong man, was in a terrible car accident, and he limps along now, and he's weak, and he has to bend over, and he's taking, and he's dealing with these pains and these sufferings. Consider Paul. What would he look like? Paul, he describes his suffering in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27. There, are they all servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. If they are, I more so. Far more labors, far more imprisonments, beatings, times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. They gave them 39 because they said 40 would kill you. 5 times he was beaten, 39 lashes with a pole, but only 39 because 40 would kill you. 3 times I was beaten with rods, apart from that. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the sea. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. He says, and difficult times are going to come. And so I see Paul with the bruises on his head, the scars on his face. I can imagine an eye drooping from having been beat with a stone till they thought he was dead. And he says, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. Oh, a man to be in this place where he can hardly write anymore. They recognize his writings because he was able to scribble his name down in these large letters at the bottom. But the Lord delivered me out of them all. We look and we realize difficult times will come. But the Lord will deliver you out of them all, is our message, my message to you as your proclaimer this morning. Our message to our disciples, that is our children. The difficult times will come. We see, as we know of the difficult times in these men who will behave in certain ways, we're given a specific instruction then in verse 5 about these people who are lovers of self and disobedient, those who deny the power of Christ to change, to cause us to walk in the truth and not in sin. In this instruction he gives, he says, avoid such men as these. They are holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, saying, you can't really overcome sin. You won't really be able to walk in truth. They would continue on in their sin. And we are given this warning about these men, told to move away, to make a separation between ourselves and them. Verse 6, a description continues. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. We see these men are able to be in a position where they see weaknesses and they influence and they use their power to manipulate and to abuse, to treat people like objects and to get what they want from them. They are people of knowledge. They have knowledge. They can stand up. They can preach. They can teach. We see in verse 7, they are always learning. And yet they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They're able to display an intellect, an understanding of the Scripture, but not in such a way where they actually know Christ. not in such a way where they are calling on Him, not in such a way where they are trusting Him, not in such a way that they're putting off their sin and following Him. Avoid men such as these. Verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. These characters here, it's frustrating. They're not listed anywhere else in Scripture by name. Paul had some access to some other writing that you and I haven't been given. In a sense, we could look at this and we could stomp our foot and say, ah, the Scripture's incomplete then. We're not being given everything that Paul had. Well, just in case you might be afraid to take that position, we see that we're told everything that we need to know about this Jannes and Jambres. They were opposed to Moses. That is, they stood against the Lord's anointed. Men who opposed the truth, in verse 8. Men of depraved mind. Men rejected in regard to the faith. Men who will not make progress. We're told everything we need for faith and life, even when we're not given every detail that we might like to have. This opposing men such as these, avoiding such men as these. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. James 4:4 warns us that to be in association with those who are of this ilk, who are of the world, that we're told we're committing adultery against Christ if we're associating with men such as these. James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. A distinction that is necessary. You will know them by their fruit. And the fruit is to look like loving obedience and humility. Everything that Christ was and everything that Christ calls us to. So then, realizing these times come, avoiding men such as these, we come to where we stand. Our third step, stand for the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. We see the ways of these men. They were opposed to the prophet, Moses, who is this foreshadowing of Christ. They are opposed to Christ. They are opposed to the Anointed One. They are opposed to the Scripture, the teachings, the truths, the call to faith and repentance. Repentance looking like following Christ in His power, acknowledging His power. Paul continues on in verse 9. He's giving us the contrast then between these characters who oppose the Scripture and oppose Christ. Verse 10, now you, to say, on the other hand, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. Some will look and they still oppose Paul. Some will look at Paul and call him a chauvinist, saying he was against women. But in Galatians 3:28, Paul announces men and women have equal value. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands are told to lay down their lives for their wives. We're told to oppose God's prophet is to oppose God Himself, to oppose Christ and to oppose the Father. Luke 10:16, Jesus speaks, the one who listens to you listens to me, Jesus says. And the one who rejects you rejects me, as He speaks to the apostles. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. We are called to this place to be loving and trusting Christ, to be holding to His word and everything He says, That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, which is given by the prophets, which is given by the apostles, which is given to us in the Scripture. And John 16:3 describes these people who are rejecting Christ, those who are not holding to the word, those who are not holding to the law. These things they will do, Jesus says, because they have not known the Father or me. These ones who are opposing Paul and opposing his word, never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And Jesus makes this statement in John 16:3, these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. The next verse shows it's in this context of persecution. These things I have spoken to you so that when the hour comes, you will remember that I told you of them. The persecution will come. We are to stand in the truth in the midst of the persecution. Isaiah 8:20 tells us the ones that we are to listen to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. To the law and the testimony is to be the call. That is, to the word of God and to his covenant, to the covenant of grace, to his justice and his mercy. John 5:14, you are the light of the world, he announces to the church. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. If we are to stand for the truth, we are to be that light. As Jesus himself declares in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it is the word, we are told in Hebrews 4:12, that judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. We stand in the truth. Our next step is continue in the Scripture to Christ. It was exciting to come across that parallel in Revelation chapter 2. He says, oh, you do a good job hating those guys. Well, not hating them, but hating their teaching. It's more precise than that. We don't hate people, but we do hate lies. We hate the lies that come to death. I was exploring caves with friends at one point, and I pretended like I knew how to do that, and everybody was following me, and I lost a guy, and I had to go back in deep and deep and deep in the dark, and I found him, and I came back, and I looked around, and somebody was missing. And I said, where's Topper? They said, he went down that hole. And I asked, why? And we're talking miles of caves. And he said, because there's an arrow there. I said, so what? And he said, he thinks that means that's the way out. I said, we don't know who put that arrow there or why. I hated that arrow. I hated that arrow because it took my friend deeper into a hole where I had to then go and find him and try to bring him back out. You can hate the arrows without hating the person that put it there. We do hate every lie. We are to hate every false way. We're to hate the teachings of the Nicolaitans, but we're not to hate the Nicolaitans. You, however, continue in the things you have learned. Continue is the idea. Even if you've memorized the Westminster Confession and the shorter and larger catechism and the testimony, you haven't arrived. You haven't pulled it off. We're not there. You, however, continue in the things you have learned to become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I'm going to put some pressure there. I'm going to say this isn't just his parents. And I'm going to say this isn't just Paul, even if it was Paul. It's Paul carried along by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say you learn from Christ. You learn from his Holy Spirit making his word alive. We stand in the truth that we have learned from Christ as he has revealed it to us. Becoming convinced, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What was the problem with the church in Ephesus? They did a good job hating the teaching of the Nicolaitans. But what was the problem? They forgot their first love. They forgot to love Jesus. They could hate the teachings and all the false teachings out there, but they forgot to love Jesus. That's why this step four is continue in the Scripture to Christ. You can memorize books of the Bible and still be lost. But it's to take us to Christ. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him? And it's shocking there in Romans 10:14. How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? It's hearing Christ. We read the Word to hear Christ. We read the Word to come to Him. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of Christ. Contrast that with the people in verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Your learning is to bring you to Christ. We continue in the Scripture to Christ. These negative examples, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, men rejected in regard to the faith. The people who are lost. Verse 16, all Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is breathed out by God is the most literal translation that I can offer to you. All Scripture is breathed out by God. We come to the Scripture to hear Christ. From there, what do? Our fifth step is be taught. Who's tried to teach somebody that won't be taught? Oh, don't you hate it? Don't you hate it? Coaching basketball on a little kid that says, I know. Clearly, he doesn't know. Child that won't be taught. People who say, I know. It doesn't seem right that you and I could read any Scripture and say, I know. Can't you imagine the Holy Spirit saying, clearly, you don't. I could read a passage, I can preach a sermon. I've described before the frustration when I'd ask someone what they thought of the sermon. They would say, good reminder. Almost as if to say, I know. But maybe I don't know better, but the Holy Spirit surely does. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Do you come to it looking for that profit? Looking for it to be profitable. Profitable for what? For teaching. Come to be taught. The teaching, I say, it's described in the following verses. For reproof, for correction. We need reproved, we need corrected. For training in righteousness, we need trained. So that the man of God will be adequate. Oh, just to be that, huh? Just to be that. Just to be adequate. Oh, I'd love it if I could just feel adequate for a day. Just to be adequate. To be equipped for every good work. The tension that we saw in verses 2 through 5. If we were to make our own checklist. For men will be lovers of self, guilty. Lovers of money, guilty. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, that's a traitor. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness. Although they have denied its power. Guilty. Guilty, guilty. But good news, we've been taught. There's teaching. Good news, there's grace. Good news, Christ has sought your good. Good news, Christ stands as the mediator. Continuous for you. Good news, you are received. Good news, He has walked those paths of righteousness for His own name's sake, and He's walked them in your name as well. Good news. And then from there, He leads us in paths of righteousness. for His name's sake. That we avoid such men. And we turn from being such men. That we're willing to be reproved and corrected. We go to the Word to be reproved and corrected. We go to the Word to be trained in righteousness. We go to the Word to be adequate for correction. We go to the Word to be equipped for every good work. But for you, you go to the Word to come to Christ and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have not left us without a light. Christ Himself is our light. And that Your Word even is our light. That we would come to Christ. That we would love Him. That we would see the world through His Word. That You would be glorified as we are taught, as we are corrected, as we draw near to our Savior. Father, please bless each of us here with sweet time in Your Word, that we would draw closer to our Savior, that we would have wisdom for life and light, and that You would be glorified in us. Bless us, Father. May we each grow. May we each advance from strength to strength as we call on Your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Psalm 116b, our Psalm of the Month. We continue to announce that all men are liars, but we are brought to that place of salvation where we are calling on Christ. We're being brought to a place of repentance where we announce that I will keep my vows. May it be in the church, in the presence of all His people, even in the Lord's house, in His courts. We call out for one another to give Christ His praise. Let's stand and sing Psalm 116b.
I still believe of Thou, I said, how sorely I am tried. Though I asserted in my haste, all living men have lied. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall of Thee, O Savior.
receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.